Say hi to spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, today. Women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in. High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 4/29, limit 5 per customer. Select styles in stores only.
Welcome to Golden State of Mindcast. Ivan Betker here with Bram Kinchelow and Nate Parham. Guys, we're just 11 games left in the season. We're just 3 weeks away from the playoffs. I'm super excited that we're finally going to be done with this, what turned out to be a really long slog after a super exciting beginning. Are you guys stoked?
Stoked.
Yeah, stoked. I mean, guys, this is going to sound so spoiled again. Yo, like, do you guys realize the first round is looking like hecka boring? No matter who we play.
I don't even know. Well, I mean, who are we matched up against right now?
It could potentially be Houston, and I'm the guy who just wrote like the hatest, hardest piece about Houston today. Yeah. So,
well, that would be fun. Beating Houston would be fun. It could also be Dallas.
Yeah,
which could be very boring.
I'm way more scared of Dallas, honestly, just because of the purely with the we believe
karma. We believe karma.
Psychology, however. Yeah. Exactly.
And we've got. Let's see. We're playing them tomorrow night, right?
Is that yeah.
Right? Well, today night. Because we're going to post this tomorrow.
That's right. That's right. Friday against the Mavericks. And we'll get to that in a little bit. First, I just want to talk about, in between now and the playoffs, we've got 11 games to go, and they only have to go 9-2 to get the all-time record. So
only.
Well, it does feel like that. Well, let me ask on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your confidence level that the Warriors are going to do 9-2 or better?
8.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go. I honestly don't care. I want them to be happy and I want them to be fulfilled.
God.
And
Jesus Christ. Good God.
No, I want them.
Harding to you one bit, has it?
No, it's just made me pine for the days of, free love and hippiedom that grew accustomed to as a young child. No, I want them to be healthy. I that's why I say that. Like I obviously the record will be great. What I think is going to happen is I think, and I obviously will be wrong in some capacity, but I think that they'll tie the record but they'll tie it because they'll give a game away for some reason because they decide to rest some people, just to make sure that they go into the playoffs healthy and whole. And hopefully they're getting Azili back. They got Bogut back last night. Hopefully they're getting Andre Iguodala back, fairly soon. Ideally, as they move into the first round and even beyond, like they all know that the main goal is making a deep run and hopefully winning back-to-back championships. The goal is not the record. I mean, it's fun for us and it's fun for them to talk about it. But at the end of the day, like, I would love the record, but is it going to change my life? No. Like, did them winning the championship last year change my life? Like, in a certain way, yes, because you would have thought that the Warriors could be champions. And that definitely realigned the way that I thought about my sports fandom and the team in general and Steph Curry. And now he's the face of the universe and everything else. Like, I don't think that, I think for casual fans, them winning 73 games is in the long run, not as big a deal as them winning the championship last year and hopefully this year going back to back.
That's true. I'm kind of with you, but the players aren't, they want that immortality. And I think they're talking about that a little bit, like these dudes really want, they want to win all the records. They want to like put their stamp on it.
Totally, but are the Bulls immortal because they won 72 games that year, or are they immortal because Michael won a stretch of three and then a stretch of three? And
I think they're immortal because of the sum total.
Or the sum total, exactly. So I think that the Warriors are entering into a stretch of competitive ideology where it's like they it's not one thing. Like, of course they would love the record and obviously they're going for it and they're busting their ass and they're going all out, but like if they win the record and if they win the championship again this year, they're still not in the Bulls. I mean, they're still nowhere near the Bulls, they're in the conversation now, but it's like the Bulls won 6 out of 8.
Yeah, but I mean, I hear you, except at the same time it's like it's just one more notch in your belt. Is one more argument. Like, let's say you do down the line win X number of championships. You'll also, let's say, just hypothetically, let's say the Warriors go and win 6 championships. If they dead serious.
No, I know it could totally happen.
You know, Ron Harper will be out there like, well, they never won 72. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to like get it. I really do think, like I've been saying, that they're really looking at their legacy now. Like, how close to immortality can we get? And looking at that fact that, like, I think this actually gets underplayed because the record is 72. Like, even 70 is quite a mark to hit. And there's a possibility that 2 teams could hit 70 this year.
So much of it, I think, it also will depend on, like, on what other teams are competing and who's actually trying to win and who's resting their guys. So we have 2 Spurs games, obviously, coming up at the end of the season. And the Spurs are, like, really solidly locked into the second seed. Like, I don't think the third seed can't catch up with them, and they're not very likely to pass the Warriors, and they don't seem very interested in doing the same thing the Warriors are trying to do. The Grizzlies are kind of like that. We have 2 games against them at the end too, and they're in the muck right now. Like, they have a chance to get home court against the Clippers, and
which would be I'd watch that series in a heartbeat. It's a good series.
Yeah. Well, either way, regardless of where, whether it's, you know, home court advantage for the Clippers versus Memphis, but like right now they're 2 games apart, 2.5 games apart. So kind of like if things go as they've been going, like we should probably expect the Grizzlies to be like a hard out.
Lance Stevenson, man. Superstar Lance Stevenson, God mode. Just repping Lincoln High all the way to the second round.
And then we got Dallas and Utah, and both of them are vying for that 8th seed. And so those
I would love to see Utah make it. I really dig Utah's team.
I did too. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The Mavericks are 7th right now, right? They're 7th, and so Utah and Houston are the ones vying for the 8th seed.
How much better would the playoffs be with Utah in it as opposed to Houston?
Oh, so I mean, other than I want to drink the tears, but you know, them missing the playoffs is those are tasty tears too.
We already drank their playoff tears already. Now it's time to drink their end of the regular season non-playoff tears.
Yeah, and Houston's the kind of team where if they don't make the playoffs, like there's gonna be like crazy stuff going on with that team. Like as soon as the playoffs start, you know, like the last game of the season happens, they miss the playoffs like on the last game. And then everybody's, you know, placing blame on each other, and like the coaches are getting fired, and like it's gonna be nuts.
Yeah, I think that's the better outcome. Let's go with that.
All right, then we also have just to finish off the list of teams to play. I haven't really looked at the Eastern Conference in a little while, so I'm not sure where they are. Boston's set in the fourth seed, and Washington's out of 10th. Man, I really didn't realize that.
Yeah,
they've had a disappointing season. They lost Paul Pierce, and it's weird because Paul Pierce is an old guy, obviously. But you know, Paul Pierce was, when they were trying to run him as the 4, it really worked for them, and they didn't replace that. And they're trying to they couldn't remember if they were going to do small ball or they're going to go big now, and it's kind of plagued them. And Beal was out for a while, so they just had a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, they brought in Jared Dudley, right?
To kind of replace that, but you know.
Yeah,
it was a tough change for them,
right? And Nene is kind of like, you know, really fallen off a cliff.
Yeah,
is no longer the player that he should. And Otto Porter didn't kind of get so as much better as one would have thought, or one would have hoped.
On a straight up trade, would you trade Harrison Barnes for Otto
Porter?
Oh
my goodness, this is ridiculous. Move on. you're trying to bait us into just being haters, and we're not.
Let's make this a hate-free podcast.
Well, hold on a second,
because it's mile marker 10 minutes or wherever we are.
Speaking of, we already met when we were figuring out what to talk about. Nate brought up this is David Lee's return to Oracle tomorrow. So I know Nate loves David Lee, and I'd love to hear because this is a hate-free podcast. So
Nate,
we can't
straight up right now. Harrison Barnes for David Lee.
No comment. There's nothing good I can say about that. Either way, you're just
I can't explain how much I love how much you can't stand Harrison Barnes. This is like this weird like thing that I have going on right now where I just love to needle you about Barnes.
Here's the funny thing. He does like one good player. Like, hey, what do you think of them apples? I'm like, well, the fact that he couldn't post up Jamal Crawford like the last two plays or the last two games they played them, it kind of stands out more in my mind. So
the fact
that he has one good possession.
You live in a prison of insecurity, man. You know?
Insecurity.
I'm good. Your world
you
outlook.
You play for a max contract. I'm fine.
Your world outlook is being, man, it's being skewed by your dislike of his basketball abilities. Wait, and I just feel like
wasn't Ivan the one who had the whole podcast?
It was me.
I don't know why you're
playing. Yeah, but Ivan's not on Twitter as much as you are. So I can like push your buttons more easily.
Let's talk about David. I mean, he's kind of revived his career a little bit, or he seems to be a little healthier right now than we've seen in like a couple of years.
You know, we've talked about this before. I think we talked, maybe it was me and Bram when we brought the Dallas guys on. But, you know, Carlisle's a hell of a coach. I think
he's a great coach.
As much as anything else. And I think, you know, they've put him in good position to be productive. And that's part of the coach's job. Not at all to take anything from Brad Stevens. But I think this Mavs team needs Lee a lot more, needs what Lee offers a lot more than the Celtics did. So I think that's the main difference. And I think he's, you know, Lee is he's a hard worker. He knows his limitations, maybe now more than when he first came to the Warriors. And he has a championship. So I think he's willing to just be a hardworking role player on a good squad. And I think he's fit in. I'm surprised at how well he's fit in so late in the season and how quickly he's been effective for them and effective for David Lee, which means you're not going to get any defense. And you're still going to get a lot of empty rebounds.
I think also that speaks volumes to just the difference between the Celtics and the Mavericks, and not so much particularly about the difference between the coaches.
Yeah,
because I think also that we talk about Carlisle being up there probably with Kerr, and I would put Brad Stevens in that same upper echelon of like really just fantastic, just brilliant coaches who are just playing to their team's strengths. But you look at the Celtics, I mean, they're a very, very, very young, very athletic team with a lot of interchangeable parts. And they're like, they hang their hat on their defense. You look at Avery Bradley, you look at Marcus Smart, and those guys are just bulldogs. I mean, they're just getting after the ball. And so, I mean, obviously David Lee is not going to have a place on that team.
Right. And also, I think they began the season with a number of power forwards. I mean, nothing about that squad was playing in his favor at all.
Totally. But then you look at him, fitting on the Dallas team, and you know, that whole team is crafted around Dirk, who is the quintessential crafty veteran. And, you know, and every other single player on that team seems like they've been in the league for 10 plus years, you know? So of course, David Lee can move well comparatively to the vast majority of the people who are on the Mavericks currently. And so he fits in much better in the way that, Carlisle can scheme, you know, thinking about his physicality and his athleticism and just his abilities at this point in his career.
All right, let's move on to the Clippers. Warriors beat the Clippers last night, Wednesday night, 114-98. it's kind of a ho-hum game, right? Like, I wouldn't call it boring, but it was, never felt like it was really in doubt. And we used to all just kind of get up for Clippers. Clippers Warriors matchups. Is it dead? Is the rivalry dead?
Can I offer my two word, or actually just one word said twice commentary?
Okay.
Okay, that's my commentary. But also I think
a lot of people mentioned light hate.
I think this was mentioned on Twitter by a few people, and I think it's true. Andy mentioned in his article recap of the game as well today. I think a lot of that rivalry was Mark Jackson. I think Mark Jackson sort of, you know, his personality, the way he talked, the way he got guys up for games, the way he motivated guys, I think figures so much into it. And I think Kerr and this team's identity now, they're so far past the Clippers at this point. I think a lot of that personality there that was really the juice of it is kind of gone. And I think obviously the Clippers are struggling this season. I mean, they're a playoff team, but without Blake, they have no wings that can guard the Warriors, can stay with the Warriors' wings. I mean, so you kind of come into it expecting a win now, which is crazy because we really are just 2 years removed from losing in the playoffs to them. But, you know, how can they possibly match up with the Warriors? And that's what it comes down to, like, every time we talk about this. Like, how do they match up on the wing? And they can't seem to find a wing. And Doc has made a succession of bad moves that is really, you know, whether or not Doc the coach is as great a coach as people talk about, some people talk about, Doc the GM has been not so hot for the Clippers.
I mean, you talk about like Jackson and kind of the way he comported himself and maybe, you know, brought that rivalry on a little bit between him and Doc, or just the it kind of feels like I agree with you. It's like almost playing for the rivalry instead of playing for something bigger. Yeah. Or, you know, well, playing for those moments. And it doesn't really feel like, even when the Clippers seemed like they were like championship contenders, they never really felt like they were, you know. They didn't have that like attitude of like, we're here to win the championship, not just to like, you know, to win this game or to like, you know, pound our chests or, you know, kind of show up in the moment, which is how it just feels like how they've been for like a long time now.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But I think getting back to what you said about Mark Jackson, I think that was his MO just in the way that he approached trying to motivate people, you know. And you not only saw that with him trying to pit teams against one another, like, okay, this is your rival, you know, you have to go out and dominate this one team because this is the team against which we will measure ourselves for whatever reason. You know, they're in the same division. Maybe he had a thing with Doc that he wants to, you know, dominate that team. But you saw that also within the locker room, where he would pit players against each other, you know, where he's telling the team that Ezeli quit on the team, where he's telling the different players that, you know, he's picking favorites. Like, that type of managerial approach, I think, where you say this is one thing and this is another, and these two things have to go to battle in order for us to decide who's right and who's wrong. Like, that's such a black and white approach.
Yeah, but that's his. We don't have to get into too much of off the court stuff. But I mean, that comes up in a lot of his the way he talks, the way his ideology that he espouses about the world in general. Yeah, there's exactly. A lot of good and exactly. Evil, yeah, and I'd black and white, agree. And yeah. You know, it really was an us against the world. And I do think, though, when he first took over the Warriors, and I think we do have to give him more credit. I mean, he gives himself plenty of credit, but the credit he is due is that he did take a team that was really a franchise that was really downtrodden, and that us against the world thing really worked really well for them.
Oh, totally.
And I think so. When you look at the progression of that to that Clippers series, you know. Fights, what was it, refusing to do the church thing together. I mean, there were so many things that were so Mark Jackson centric about that rivalry. And then, you know, the climax of this rivalry, which can't be forgotten either, is like the Donald Sterling thing right in the middle that first round series. You know, it even brings up more of like the race and do you stand for, who are you for and who you're against. Yeah. And suddenly, I mean, that series was a crazy series. I mean, we're missing our entire center rotation, and there's like, you get blown out one game and then you blow out the next game. And it was back and forth, goes seven games. I mean, you can't really get much more than that unless you actually do take it to the next level and like meet in the Western Conference Finals, which the Clippers missed last year, which further kind of put them a notch down. So they missed that Western Conference Finals, and the Warriors go on to win the championship. They can't retool and bring on wings to match up with the Warriors this year. So it's just like, and now they get swept this year. So, I mean, it's like any notion that this is a rivalry. Yeah, I think there are just so many pieces that, you know, the story was there for the NBA's next great rivalry. And it was so perfect. And it was, I mean, the NBA could not have asked for a better rivalry. And then, you know, I'm going to say the Clippers didn't hold up their end of the bargain. But I'm also going to say that Mark Jackson leaving is probably and a change of attitude from the Warriors' perspective is definitely a little piece of why this narrative didn't continue the way it is, because Mark Jackson just contributed so much to that narrative.
I totally agree with that, but I also think that like when you make things heavier than they need to be, you know, like, oh, this first round playoff series, like, this says everything about who we are as people. It's like, no, it doesn't. Like, you're playing basketball and you're down a couple centers. And, you know, in the end of the day, like, when Kerr came in, and then you can't just, like, put every single egg in one basket of, like, you know, good versus evil and our squad, like you're saying, us versus everybody else and us versus the world, and like, don't listen to the noise. It's like, yeah, like, embrace the noise, embrace the movement, embrace the joy and the ups and downs. And like, we're going to be flexible. We're going to, you know, when Memphis kicks us in the mouth, we're going to renegotiate our relationship with the series that we're playing with them, and like, completely retool our team. And the same thing with the Cavs. And I think that level of flexibility and that, like, sort of outlook on the world is so much more healthy, I guess, would be the one word that I would choose above all else, where it's like,
yeah, but pro sports and healthy don't necessarily go together.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, but so like, I just think losing, if we break it down to like what was happening, like the dynamics of the teams coming together and competing, and there's going to be a winner and loser. I really think like Mark Jackson was fueling a lot of it, and then the Clippers just fell behind. And look, had the Clippers made the Western Conference Finals last year, we might be talking about this as a rivalry still.
Well, not, like, if they're playing, yeah, how they're playing this year, but yeah.
But we didn't get, I mean, we didn't even get that. So we didn't get the higher platform that rivalry needed. And then this year they get swept by the Warriors in the regular season. And we might get a second round series, but are they going to compete with the Warriors in the second round series? I just, you know.
But
unless
so,
they magically find new players, I just don't see that. So,
in lieu of the Clippers, who would you say is the Warriors? You know, I have a team, but who would you say is their, you know, Dread Pirate Roberts arch nemesis type thing?
I mean, it's the Spurs technically, yeah. But I mean, then last, I mean, the weird thing is that they won the championship already, so they didn't have that typical NBA narrative of you have to, like, you know, there was a fan post to GSOM written about, like, you know, barrier teams. Typically, every great champion has had a barrier team. And the Warriors just kind of, like, destroy, like, bust through the barriers and say, hey, we're here.
All right, Nate.
Oh, I got a barrier to bust through.
I got a barrier team for you.
Yeah.
It's the 96 Bulls.
No, it's not in front of them. Like, that's a mind game. Like, we're talking about teams that, like, there's no team right now. And the Spurs are still there because we really don't know how these two teams match up at full strength.
I honestly can't wait for that series.
I hope it happens.
I really hope it happens.
It might not. I mean, the Thunder are a scary team. I think they could hypothetically beat either team. You know, fourth quarter collapses notwithstanding. You know, maybe they figure it out in the playoffs. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think the Clippers rivalry just the stakes were lessened and they didn't measure up.
Well, I think also too, rivalries have definitely changed since, you know, you look at Jordan going against the Pistons, or, you know, before that, obviously the Celtics, Lakers, all that stuff. Like, now these guys all know each other. They're all on shoe deals. They're all making crazy money. You know, you look at LeBron talking about how he hopes that he can play with Carmelo and CP3 and Dwayne Wade before his career is over. I think that, like, there are rivalries, but I just think that the Warriors Clippers rivalry, like you said, had the potential to hold that level of just vitriol and just hatred. I mean, Draymond Green definitely hates the Clippers. Like, sure. He hates them with all of his soul. Yeah. And I love him for that. And I think that, you know, I think that CP3, like, really hates Draymond. I think CP3 kind of hates everybody, though, for that matter. He's just, like, kind of sneaky, like, very evil player in the league. But I think that you're right in the fact that that level of just, like, provincial hatred that sometimes is present in sports was definitely there for the making, and the marketing people jumped all on top of it. And then, you know, like you said, they didn't hold up their end of the bargain. So we'll see what happens in this year's playoffs. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's very much open-ended as far as what the matchups are going to be. And then there's like one or two or three teams, maybe if you include OKC, that have a chance to really go to the next level. But the rest of them, unfortunately, maybe you start to write off, you know, just seeing how the season's gone so far.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of barrier teams, and I think a lot of people going into this season were obviously thinking about the last year's finals matchup, the Cavs. And certainly, you know, that is still, and for most of the season, even with the Spurs, you know, doing what they're doing, there's been this kind of expectation that, you know, it's there is a good chance that we're going to have a rematch of Warriors Cavs. I haven't been keeping super close attention to all the stuff going on with LeBron James. A lot of kind of cryptic things in social media, and there's been some you know, catching him on tape, like talking to Dwayne Wade about reuniting. You guys see that one?
Yeah, that's
it's rough. So yeah. You know, so that like you know, and like videos of him getting frustrated at teammates playing terrible defense and things like that. So, Do you think that that there's a chance to that's going to affect their you know, the Eastern Conference playoff outlook and like their stretch, home stretch going toward the finals to you know, to get that potential rematch? Like, is there a better chance now with LeBron kind of expressing unhappiness that, like, you know, they fall apart a little bit? Or you know, and I guess that the bigger question is, like, what do we expect out of the East right now, you know, heading towards the Eastern Conference Finals?
Dude, I mean, LeBron is a player who has historically turned it on and off. So, you know, I guess the question is age at this point. But, you know, some of those Heat runs, I mean, he turned it on when he needed to in the postseason. So I'm kind of reserving judgment on whether they'll just – and whether they'll lose. I know they've been struggling, but LeBron's a heck of a force, man.
Look at the finals last year. Right?
Yeah, it's like the Spurs in the West, sort of. Like, you don't want to count that team out. I kind of don't want to count LeBron out, especially in the Eastern Conference, where he doesn't have to go through Golden State, San Antonio, and OKC. So, you know, I will tell you that, you know, we do have a GSOM writer who's working on a piece about this very issue, and I know where he's going with it. So, you know, maybe I'll build anticipation for his piece.
Plug.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean,
that is a plug. You know, read GSOM every day.
any spare moment you have, go to goldenstateofmind.com and just read.
Especially at work.
When you are at work, please visit goldenstateofmind.com to fulfill all of your needs for basketball and the Warriors.
You should do voiceover work. That was really
good. You really should. That was outstanding.
So maybe another question is, like, who can beat them just from a talent perspective? Like,
I think Toronto can take them. I think it'll be a really hard fought match. And I think in the end, honestly, LeBron will turn it on, they'll win. But I think Toronto is a heck of a team. I love DeRozan. I think he's not underrated because he's an all-star, but I think he's just a great player. And Lowry, I mean, that backcourt is just, they're fierce.
And they seem to have found, which, you know, I hadn't been a huge fan of Dwayne Casey's, you know, until the last couple of years, but, you know, now still under Dwayne Casey, they kind of feel like they've found like that chemistry magic a little bit, right?
Well,
like,
and I think
like Lowry and DeRozan, like they get along really well, and like Damari Carroll's a really great like glue guy. Like, even though he's hurt, he's probably doing good things in the locker room. They're just a fun team, like a uplifting.
So
team.
To that point, and then also a bigger point is that Toronto, they know who they are, like they have an identity, and I think that Cleveland, even after all this time. You know, they fired David Blatt. What is Kevin Love doing? Is he going to shoot three-pointers? Is he going to post up? How many rebounds is he going to get? Like, is Kyrie primarily a scorer or is he a facilitator? When is LeBron going to turn it on, you know, to Nate's point? Like, when is he going to take over the game? And is he going to try to facilitate his other players until such time as he decides that they can't win the game and then he'll take it over? It's like there's so many variables. And I think that Toronto obviously, they don't have the ceiling that Cleveland has, but I think that maybe for them, that's a good thing insofar as that they're just like, they know what they do and they're just going to go do that and they're going to do it better and more consistently than a vast majority of other teams. And I mean, they play the Warriors really tough, man. And that's a team that I think I could see them going far. And I could see them making the finals.
But like, how great would it be for Miami to knock Cleveland out, or at least give them a hard time?
Just real quick, also, sorry to cut you off, yeah. But in that we were talking about this earlier about how LeBron and Melo and CP3 and Dwayne Wade were all like, you know, there was that whole talk about how they might play together. And I think it was Carmelo had the quote that he was like, yeah, that'd be great, but we definitely have to do it somewhere warm. And so everybody in New York and Cleveland just promptly freaked the expletive out, for what it's worth. Throwing that into the mix.
Do you guys think is there a legit possibility that he leaves? Like, it seems like,
yes, I mean, he can leave.
He was going to stay at Cleveland, leave. But
yeah, but he has what, an opt out?
Yeah.
Situation. So, I mean, I guess. And don't you think he's done with this? Like, maybe not. I don't know.
If he cares about his brand to the extent that he obviously does, and he's with Nike, and also a plug totally non related to that Ethan Sherwood Strauss article. That he wrote on ESPN about the Nike versus Under Armour piece about Steph Curry and LeBron. Super interesting read.
Somehow that article was like, it transcended like my basketball circles too. Like, people were walking up to me, knowing that like who I am at work, and saying like, oh, did you read that article? Like, I don't know anything about this. It was like the best thing ever. I was like, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know that actually Nike's stock like dropped kind of precipitously the next day too. And Ethan even tweeted out like, I don't think this had anything to do with my article, but I'm just going to kind of leave this here. And then everybody was like, nice. But yeah, so the shoe thing, the brand thing, being in Cleveland, I mean, he has a Nike commercial, I think a Nike commercial about like, yo, you know, we got to do this for the land, you know, which is Cleveland and Ohio. It's like, I think that he's smart enough to realize that he can't leave again and maintain the relevance that he has in pop culture and in earning power and everything. Because Steph is, if not right on his heels, like maybe even surpassing him at this point. And for LeBron to have the social currency that he currently enjoys, and also the fact that I think he's regained the public's trust since winning a few championships, and then I think especially since returning to Cleveland. I mean, we forget that he was a social pariah, you know, when he went to Miami. Like,
let's not say pariah. Let's say he was the villain.
And, he was and the villain. Yeah,
being the villain was awfully lucrative for LeBron James.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
I don't know. Yeah. I can't agree that it will hurt him to leave. I mean, he'll just be the villain again, and the NBA can use a villain. Steph Curry, the golden child, could also use an opposing, like a true villain. And could you imagine if a LeBron James stayed in the East and had to go up against Steph Curry with another team?
But would he go back to Miami, or where would he go?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is all hypothetical. I'm just saying, like, there are so many scenarios where putting LeBron versus Curry on a new LeBron team would just make for enormous ratings. It would just be crazy. If he goes back to being hated, he'll be fine. But I just think, like, at this point for him, it's like, do I care about my currency in Cleveland? I honestly just don't know that matters in today's world for someone like LeBron. I hate to say that. I mean, that's an indictment of someone's character. But I just do think, like, in terms of money, in terms of NBA theater, he won't lose anything by leaving.
Well, I think that the most interesting part of that Sherwood Strauss article was he was like, yeah, sure. I mean, he's, you know, he's employed by Cleveland right now. And previous to that, he was employed by Miami. And before that, he was employed by Cleveland. But he has a lifetime contract with Nike. So,
right.
And he's making more money from his shoe deal than from his basketball contract. So, like, who's his real employer? You know, like, he's still going to sell shoes wherever he goes. Right. You know, it doesn't matter what team he plays for.
Exactly. It's like Daredevil, the Netflix show where everybody's owned by Wilson Fisk. It's crazy.
If Nike sees
that, like you're right. Like, if he's the villain and Nike markets it that way, and they like are planning ahead, like why not? Like,
all right. So now that we're talking about this, what would be the most villainous? Oh, dude, what if he went to the Clippers?
That's what I'm thinking. He's L.A. is that, like where villainous. Where else that's is there more villainous than they, Los Angeles?
What if they
California?
Did a sign and trade for Blake, and he just went to the Clippers?
I mean, that's, you can't get much more villainous than that. The question is, though, does he want to meet Curry in the finals? And I think that has to go into his calculation here. Stay opposite. Let's assume Durant also stays, which is a whole other conversation. But like, do you want to stay opposite Curry, Durant, and the Spurs, or do you want to go jump into that fray as LeBron being the villain? Because you stand to gain a lot more by finding some opportunity in the East. I mean, imagine a league where we just like, let's just say like all these companies just started, you know, running the league. And conferences were just like the UA conference versus the Nike conference versus the Adidas conference. That would actually be a kind of funny. I'd actually like to see that. That'd be pretty funny. Just like this is like forget the pretense. If they're running the league, right, Let's let them run the damn league, and just put teams against each other that way. We make it a lot more fun.
Well, in the meantime, we have basketball. Looking forward to the rest of this season. Let's cut it off for tonight before we go into brand wars podcast. We can start up a new
Bram Wars. I vote to rename it Bram Wars.
Okay. Bram Wars.
Yeah.
You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Block Talk Radio.
Don't do it.
After this, you might not want to.
You'll get lost in a rabbit hole of nonsense.
But we hope.
I love how deeply off we got from whatever we decided to talk about in the first place. That is why you should actually.
If you like the insane ramblings of diehard Warrior fans who aren't afraid to talk about some other weird stuff,
tell it like it is.
Tune in to Golden State Mindcast.
Like tell it like it is. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Peace.
Say hi to spring's most amazing style steal at Old Navy. One day only, today. Women's tanks are just $2. And don't forget to come in now to redeem your super cash. Hurry in. High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 4/29, limit 5 per customer. Select styles in stores only.